Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to continue that study as on the attributes of God, as Tim just prayed. And today we're studying that God is good. God is a good God. He is good in every one of His ways. And we're going to take the different scriptures. We're going to look at what the Bible says about this and set it up a little bit in different sections so that we can study it today. But one thing's for sure is we know without a doubt that God is good. It gives great peace in our lives. It gives us great joy to know that God is good. And it builds our faith, because so often when we look around us and when we see what's going on or things in our own life, we sit back and we may not feel it, but we know God is good. When I was in my 20s, Belinda and I were newly married, and we went on a mission trip. And the goodness of God became at the forefront of my study of who God is. In fact, before then, I would say I had not really meditated on the goodness of God like I should have. But we went on this mission trip and went to Kenya, Africa. And as we were there, we landed in Kenya, and then Nairobi, and then we drove all the way across the country, it felt like. And we ended up in this district called Kakamega District, and we saw people living in cardboard boxes. I mean, living in just nothing and filth and no running water at all, no water, no electricity, disease, people dying around. There were people mourning and dying. And it's like every day you could hear them. You could see it when you had walked where you were going. It was just, it was really one of those trips that just opened my eyes as a, 20-year-old that I had never been to a third world country. I'd never seen anything like this. And many of you have gone and seen these things, and you know what I'm talking about. And so I was there and went around, and then Sunday came around and we went to church. And when we came into this church, they began to sing, and I looked on the faces of the Kenyan believers, and their faces were glowing. Their faces were, they had unbelievable faith in God and trust in Him, and they worshiped with all their heart. You could just see it. You could feel it. Their belief in God and their faith in God, and they were proclaiming who He was and in all His glory as they sang and worshiped the Lord. And then the pastor stood up, and this is the first time I had ever heard this, and many of us have now, but this is the first time I'd ever heard this. The pastor stood up, and he proclaimed, God is good. And they all in unison, these people I had been walking around and seeing and that were there, back proclaimed all the time. And then he said, all the time, and they said, God is good. And it struck me right then. I just stopped and I started thinking, do I believe the depth that they believe that God is really, really good? Look at all that they go through and look at all that's happening in their lives and look at all the situations that they're in. And here they are with full faith, full trust, full belief, proclaiming and living out that God is good and that He's good in all His ways. And that challenged me and encouraged me to go back and study and meditate on God and the goodness of God, that God is a good God. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to study and look at and dive into that God is good. 1 Chronicles 16:34, that Song of David in 1 Chronicles says this in this verse, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." And then that wonderful Psalm 100, verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, and His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." It's like on every page or in every story of the Bible, and you see the goodness of God and that God proclaims Himself as being good. When we study through and we look at this word good as it refers to God in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, it's a rich, rich word in Hebrew and in Greek. And to try to define it takes a lot of our English words and then you kind of put them all together in its nth degree beyond what we could comprehend, and that's the goodness of God. But let me do my best at taking some of these from several dictionaries and concordances, you know, that, and I put them together and just defining what does this mean, that God is good. This word means that to be beautiful or precious, best, better, bountiful, devout, excellent, honorable, virtuous, kind, full of kindness, loving, and benevolent. All of those, to the nth degree, at the same time, wrapped up in this one word that God is good. God is good in all his way. He's good in his character. He's beautiful, precious, best, better, bountiful, devout, excellent, honorable, virtuous, kind, loving, and benevolent. God is good. When Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler and he made a statement and Jesus was responding and he said to the rich young ruler, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. There's only one who is good. There's only one who's infinitely, immeasurably, perfectly, infinite, you know, eternally good. And that's God." Matthew Henry says this about that verse in Matthew 19. He says, "God only is good, and there is none essentially, originally, and unchangeably good but God only. His goodness is of and from himself, and all the goodness in the creature is from him. He is the fountain of goodness, and whatever the streams are, all the springs are in him. He is the great pattern and sample of goodness. And by him, all goodness is to be measured. That is, all goodness is, and in him, by him, all goodness is to be measured that is good, which is like him and agreeable to his mind. We in our language call him God because he is good." A.W. Tozer said this, "The goodness of God is that which disposes him to be kind and cordial and benevolent and full of goodwill toward men. By his nature, he is inclined to bestow blessedness, and he takes holy pleasure in the happiness of his people." That God is good is taught or implied on every page of the Bible and must be received as an article of faith, as impregnable as the throne of God. It is a foundation stone for all sound thought about God and is necessary to moral sanity. The goodness of God is the drive behind all the blessings he daily bestows upon us. God is a good God, and he reveals his goodness to us. Remember when Moses said, "God, show me yourself," and we studied this in one of our times earlier this quarter in Exodus 33, and God said to Moses, and he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." So God said, "Hey, I'm gonna let my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy." And then in chapter 34, we know that God placed him in the cleft of the rock, and he passed before him, and he saw the back. But as God passed before him, he proclaimed his goodness, as he just said. And what did he proclaim? Well, verse 6 and 7 says, "The Lord passed before him, and he proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation.'" So God proclaimed his goodness, and it was every one of his attributes, or a lot of his attributes. He says, "Here's my goodness. It's who I am. I'm a good God. And my goodness is everything I am good." And so God and all his attributes are good. And that's our next point in Psalm 86:5 says, "For you, O Lord, are good. forgiving and abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures to all generations. God is good in all his ways. God is good in all his attributes. God's infinite, therefore he's infinitely good. His good is self-caused. There's no giving him goodness. There's no causing his goodness to get higher or lower. He's perfectly good. He's infinitely good. He's eternally good. He's good forever before and forever after and forever ever because he's eternal. He's eternally good. In his omnipresence, God is good wherever he is in all time. He's a good God. He's immutably good. His goodness never changes. It's perfect. It doesn't grow in intensity or lower in intensity based on us or based on things around this world or things that happen. No, God is internally and immutably good. He never changes in his goodness. It never lessens or increases. God's good in the sovereign rule and reign. God rules and reigns over all things, and he's good in his sovereignty and his rule and his reign. God is good in his great power. When he shows us his power, when he in all his great power, God is good. He's good in his holiness. God's love is good. God's justice and wrath, as we studied last week, is good. His wrath is good. His justice is good. His grace and his mercy is good. And he's good in his faithfulness. Just take all the attributes and you can overlay every one on top of each other and just play them out. And he's good in every attribute that he has. And every one are to the nth degree beyond that, than what we could ever, ever imagine. At the same time, God is good. And he's good in all his ways. And he's good in all that he does. Psalm 119:68 says, "For you are good and do good. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." Here David's worshiping the Lord as we do, and he says, "God, you are good, and all that you do is good. You're good in all your ways." And then he says, "Teach me your word. Teach me about yourself. Oh, teach my heart to believe. Oh, teach my mind to know. Teach my heart to believe. Teach me your word. Teach me your statutes. Teach me your truth that I might walk in the truth that you are good and all that you do is good." Psalm 18:30 says, "This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for those who take refuge in him." We have to believe it's vital for us in our walk with the Lord, our walk with God, our walk with Christ, to know without a doubt God is good. And when anything would tell us differently, we need to say, "No, God is good, period. God, teach me, guide me, and show me your great goodness." Nahum 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him." The Lord is good. And the fact that God is good, that's a stronghold for us as believers. That's a stronghold. That's a refuge. God is our refuge. And all his attributes are a stronghold and a refuge. But the goodness of God, oh, how sweet. Oh, how wonderful. When we hold on to it, it truly is a shield against the enemy's darts. It truly is a shield against the lies of the world and the lies of our flesh and the lies of Satan. It's a shield. It's a stronghold. And we take refuge in him and his goodness. And oh, how sweet it is for us to know our God is good, period. He is good. And he's especially good to his children. So many verses, but one of our favorite in Romans 8:28 that we hold on to by faith in the goodness of God is, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." We know that our God loves us and he will work all things out ultimately for good and for his glory. And Joseph knew this. Remember when how his brothers treated him so terribly and threw him in the pit and sold him into slavery, and he was in prison again and again, and he was, and then in Genesis 50, when he's back and got reunited to him, and they're scared for their life because now he's the second most powerful man in the world, and they're looking to him, and he said this: "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Joseph knew that God's a good God and that he is shaping all things and will work all things to good. We may or may not see it in this day and time, but we know it's true. We will understand that, I believe, when we see him. He will reveal his goodness to us, and so many things we will see clearly. Matthew 7:11. "If then you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" Our God's a good God, and he wants to give good things to his children. And he says, "Ask. Come to me. Ask me." And then Psalm 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We need to, in our life, to be able to say, along with the psalmist in Psalm 23, "Surely goodness, surely God, and surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life." We need to be convinced and sure, without a doubt, of the goodness of God, and that his goodness is abundant. His goodness is abundant. It's immeasurable. It's beyond what we can even comprehend. His goodness is abundant, especially to his children. Psalm 31:19 says, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you've stored up for those who fear you, and you worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind." God's goodness is abundant. It's abundant, and he's poured it out on us. And his goodness is especially abundant for his children, but his goodness is also on all the earth and for all people. As he says in Psalm 145:9 and then 15 and 16, he says, "The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season, and you open your hand, and you satisfy the desires of every living thing." And another great promise and truth in James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." We have to realize that every good and perfect gift, everything good, is from our good God. Every single thing good. It's so many good things, I think, that God has given to all of us and to us especially. We don't sit back and meditate on it. I was really challenged by reading these different articles and chapters on God's goodness, and they brought to light so many things, you know, that God is good in. You know, just to think that God is good in giving color. I mean, God didn't have to do that. Just beauty, you know, green grass and flowers. You know, look in the spring and all the flowers, and you sit there and something inside you go, "That's beautiful. That's pretty." I mean, and it does something. God is good in giving us color in the beautiful blue sky or the flowers or sunset. How about a sunset? You ever just stop and went, "Wow, you know, look, man, that's amazing." Or a sunrise. And yeah, God didn't have to do that. That's the goodness of God, that he would give those beautiful things that for us to enjoy, for the trees to grow, for to bear fruit, for to feed the birds and to feed the animals and all the wild animals. He says in the scripture over and over that he's a good God, and he feeds us. Everything that we get that is good, everything is from God, and he is the giver. He's the Father of all good. He said here, he's the fountain of all good, as Tozer said a second ago. The variety of flavors in our food. You know, you go, "Man, this tastes great." Well, that's good. Well, that it's from the Lord. So do we stop and just meditate and go, "There's so many good things around me that I take for granted that I just think you know, I deserve maybe. No. You have them because God's good. You have all anything good that you could even imagine is from God. And we're to stop and we're to think and we're to thank Him for all good things because He's a good, good God. And His goodness is abundant. And His goodness is abundant to us as children, that He would guide us and teach us and direct us, and that He would be with us in a special way for His children. Psalm 25:8 says, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore He instructs sinners in the way." God is good and upright, and He instructs us to Himself. God is so good that He breaks into our rebellious life, whenever it was. We were born in the sin, and we would never have turned to Him unless He broke in and he brought us to Himself out of His goodness. He saved us because He's a good God, and He loved us because He's a good God, and He saved us, and He instructs us, and He teaches us as His children, and He guides us, and He teaches us about Himself. Just like He did to Israel, for Israel, His people in the Old Testament, and for us, the new Israel, His people forevermore. He says in Nehemiah 9:20, "You gave us your good spirit." You gave us your good spirit to instruct. You gave your good spirit to instruct them, and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. God's given us His good spirit as He did Israel. And He continues to instruct and guide us. "For you are my rock and my fortress," in Psalm 31. "For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead and guide me." God is a good, and He will lead and guide and direct. He wants to bring us to Himself and bring us along for His glory through all that's going on in our lives and the challenges. He's there in His goodness, and He wants to lead and guide and direct you and me to Him and to His will, to His ways. And He's given us His good spirit to guide and direct and to lead us into His will and to His ways according to His word. Our purpose or our response. What's our response to His goodness? Well, what I thought, I just started reading and studying different passages of the psalmist and others' response in the scripture, and said, well, let's just look at what's the biblical response to goodness. And first is praise and worship and giving thanks to God. All through the scripture, we've already read several, but a couple are Psalm 106 says, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Or praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to His name, for it is pleasant." The first response to God's goodness is that we would praise Him, that we would worship Him, that we would sing praises unto Him. It doesn't matter how you think you sound to those around you. When you're in worship and when we're gathered together, you're singing unto the Lord. So sing. Yes, Lord, we are going to worship you. So, yes, we want to sing unto the Lord and proclaim His name. Don't worry about what you sound like to them. You're not singing to them anyway. Sing unto the Lord. Now, you may want to sing softly. That's okay. But sing unto the Lord and proclaim your worship unto Him, because He is a good God. He is a great God. And when we worship Him. And He says, "Sing unto me. Proclaim my goodness to me. Thank me for who I am." Spend time with God. Just being alone with God. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste. Spend time with me. Read my scripture. Meditate on me. Spend time each day. Stop. Listen. Be with me each day and taste that I'm good. Because I am. Taste that I'm good, He tells us, because I'm a good God. Be confident of this. Our good God began a good work in you. When you became a Christian, He began a good work in you. He placed His Holy Spirit in you, and He's changing you, and He's conforming you into His image. We're not there yet. We're just not there yet. But He's conforming us to His image, and one day we will be glorified. And be confident that that good work He started, He's going to finish, and He's going to complete. And so take heart. Go to Him quickly and receive His forgiveness when we do see that we're so far from it yet. But be confident that He began that good work and He is going to complete it. Therefore, don't give up in the race. Complete the race. Walk with Him no matter what. And because He says in Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure of this. Be sure of this, brothers and sisters. I need to be sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will begin it, will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. And then also, we're to be satisfied in God alone, in His goodness and in all that He is. Bless Psalm 65:4. I have these verses all in there for you to go back. But blessed is the one you chose and bring near. We are so blessed that God chose us and has brought us near to Him. Blessed is the one that you chose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. It brings us satisfaction. Our only satisfaction is in God, not in this world and not in our performance or not in what we build up or even not in our family or our children or all that things around us. Our satisfaction is in God alone. He brings us that satisfaction in the goodness of who He is and the goodness of His house. And we're to hold fast to what is good. All these verses, I'm just overlaying each week verses about how God revealed His attributes to you. And He says, hold fast to this. Hold fast to what is good. God is good. His word is good. He says, hold fast to it. When everything's breaking you away from what is good, don't go that way. Hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to me. Hold fast to my word. Hold fast to my promises. They're true and right and good. He tells us, hold fast to what is good. A couple of verses. Do not despise prophecy, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And then Romans 12:9, let love be genuine. Harbor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. We must hold fast to what is good. And also we're to bear the fruit of God. We're to bear the fruit of the Spirit, the good Spirit that's in us. He placed Him in us to teach us about Himself, to guide us, to seal us, to instruct us, but also that He might reflect His character through us. So therefore, we're to be filled with the Spirit and let His characteristics come out of our life in the fruit of the Spirit. And one of those is goodness. We're to bear His fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're to bear the fruit of Christ. We're to bear the fruit of goodness in our life. And then we're also to be zealous for good works. Our God is good. Everything He does is good. All His will and His way is good. He's zealous to reveal Himself as a good God. And we're His children, and we're to be zealous for good works as well, to reflect His goodness all around us. And that's why He says in His scripture, be zealous for good. Be zealous for good works. It's not a drudgery to go, oh, I got to do good. No, it's a joy and a privilege to be like God in the sense that His Spirit sent us and we get to do good in an evil world and with evil people and enemies around us. He says, do good to them. Why? Because He's a good God and He's put His good Spirit in us. He tells us in Titus 2:11-14, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people. You, me. His grace has come to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. How's our zeal for good works? It should be high. our zeal and zealous to glorify the Lord with good deeds, to glorify Him out of love for Him, should be high. So, as we look at our outline here, God is good. God reveals Himself in His goodness. God is good in all His attributes and all His way. God is good in all He does and all His way and all and His will. And God is good to His children. His goodness is abundant, especially toward His children. And in His goodness, God instructs and leads and guides us, and then our proper response to His goodness. We got just a few minutes. What's your response? As you've sat and you've heard these verses one after another with an outline of just kind of how to think about it, but what is your response to the goodness of God? What are your thoughts?
God's goodness for us in our lives should stimulate our goodness in front of others. Mm-hmm. And just reading back through the Gospels, and everything that Jesus did was designed for the good of the people around him. Mm-hmm. And everything he thought, everything he said, everything he did was designed for the good of each person around.
Mm.
And, you know, then I ask myself, I'm really living like that.
Mm.
Every person, even the person that may be against me, and cheering for your, you know, the world's a very competitive place that people are cheering for your downfall. All of that. And do we cheer for there for God to work with your life, himself, rather than thinking how we can get back and to think about make the work with them, so we can cheer for somebody else.
Amen. No, that was good.
When our son Taylor went to the Lord in August, I may or may not be able to get through this, but that was the anchor for us of the goodness of God. So very grateful for having grown up at Burnwood and all the people who poured Judge Truth and saw our heart into our lives. And so that first morning we woke up after finished crying, you just say, Father, thank you for sending your son so that our son can know you. And thank you that all of your ways are good. Thank you that you were good before Taylor put his trust, before maybe 2 weeks ago. Thank you that you were good today, that he was struck by lightning. Thank you that you're good tomorrow for the rest of eternity, because that's who you are. And so knowing that is what allows you to not depend on feelings, not depend on circumstances, not depend on anything apart from your best work, and know that in the midst of it, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the pain, you go back to what you know is true about goodness of God, and you hold on to that. You say, given the choice, I wouldn't have chosen this, but this was your very best potato for sure, because he's in your presence. But it's what your plan is for our family, so we can embrace that, and we can thank you by faith for it. And we can thank you how you're going to use this in your work. And Peter's prayer the Friday before he was struck by lightning on Saturday is, God, what do you want you to use my life for the greatest impact of your kingdom? And God said, okay, this is how I want to use you. And so for us, again, go back to the goodness of God. You just say, God, you're good in all of your ways, including this, including, people who are dealing with cancer, people that we know and love, and y'all pray for God. I'm like, now, this is courage. And others, we don't just read these verses in our Bible, but we hold on to them because they're true. But I love the goodness of God, and I'm grateful that He had revealed this to us before.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's very powerful. All right. Anybody else want to share something? God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for revealing yourself to us. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in a personal way by your Spirit, through your Son, and through your word. Just thank you for these great testimonies and as we've heard of how you have shown your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, for revealing yourself. And truly you and your character is an anchor for our soul. Truly you and your goodness is a stronghold for us, a refuge and a shield. Along with all your great attributes, we proclaim with faith that you are good. And you're good in every one of your ways. Nothing changes that in our world, in our lives, and forever. You're a good God. And you do good. And as Cindy proclaimed, we trust you and your goodness. Because you're good in all your ways. We love you, God, because you first loved us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for dear friends that come alongside and do speak and share truth and pray for us. And Lord, help us this week to hold on to who you are, especially your goodness, in a deeper way. In Jesus' name, amen.